Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A warning. This series contains discussions of themes that might be distressing for some listeners. The official story has always been that Lockie ran away from home about 9 p.m, climbed a gate or fence, and went about 1.2 kilometres over a rough track to the end of the ponds, fell in, and drowned.
What I know unfolded that night and what's been told is totally different.
There's not a mark on his body. None of it adds up.
That's a baby case. It's what we would call a baby case.
The Boy in the Water is a newsroom.co.nz production.
The coroner has ordered an inquest.
I'm here now at the Invercargill Courthouse.
Good morning, everyone. Lachlan Jones, Lockie, was 3 years and 8 months old when he died.
My whole life has just been destroyed.
We're heading into courtroom four.
What happened to Lockie that led to his death, and how did he die?
I asked you a simple question.
The truth's going to come out.
Definitely.
I'm telling the truth.
Kia ora, I'm Melanie Reid, Newsroom's Investigations Editor. Welcome to Season 2 of our podcast, The Boy in the Water, and our third episode, Under Attack. It's day 2 of the inquest into the death of Lockie Jones. Once again, there is a tense feeling in the courtroom as Coroner Ho reminds Lockie's mum, Michelle Officer, why she must answer questions put to her by Max Simpkins, the lawyer acting for Lockie's father, Paul Jones.
Miss Officer, you weren't in the courtroom this morning when I gave my opening remarks, but
no.
I like to think that one of the themes which carried through it was that we're here for Lockie to find out the answers to unanswered questions about that day, and part of that process means you being asked the questions that Mr. Simpkins has asked you today and which other counsel will ask you tomorrow. So by answering them, you are assisting me and this court, and as trite as it may sound, justice, to find out what happened to your little boy. And I know that the process of examination can be grueling, and some of the questions may be uncomfortable, but it is part of that process.
Today, Max Simpkins is poring over Lockie's medical records and is questioning Michelle Officer about her little boy's health.
Then on the 1st of July, you went back to the doctor, and would you agree that he was back at the doctor's 2 days after the 29th of June? Things were getting worse, and he was coughing more.
Paul's in the house at the time, and I'm taking him to the doctor. If I was a bad mother, I wouldn't take him to the doctor. So I don't know where you're coming from.
I just want you to confirm that this is what...
I don't know where you're coming from. Sorry. And Paul's here. How is this relevant?
You took him again to the doctor on the 3rd of July 2015.
I was keeping a really good eye. They told me what signs to watch. They said, if he does this, take him, bring him back in. I can't see what you're getting at, Max.
Just answer the questions, if you wouldn't mind, please.
At this point, I just want to let our listeners know that we have edited some of these exchanges between lawyer Max Simpkins and Michelle Officer.
I can't see why I'm getting the blame when it's joint parenting here.
Well, you just answer the questions.
Ms. Officer, I think it may assist you to know that Mr. Simpkins has indicated that he will be calling an expert witness to make, I assume, certain propositions about the matters which he's covering with you. Fairness requires him to put these propositions to you so you have a chance to address them before that witness.
Thank you, Your Honour.
Ms. Officer, I now want to turn to your statement. The expert has looked at your statements and she's provided some comments that perhaps you might want to speak to. Firstly, I want to speak to you in respect of the first statement that you made. Please.
Sorry, Max, who's your expert? What's the name of your expert, please?
It might surprise you, Ms. Officer, but I asked the questions.
I'm not going to answer them if you don't tell me who your expert is. Because you could be making that up, like yesterday.
The expert witness that I will be calling to give evidence is a Karen Smith, Ms. Officer. She is a retired FBI agent from America who has extensive experience in criminal trials and criminal investigation. Does that satisfy you?
I need a break, thank you.
We'll take 10 minutes. You remain under examination, no discussing the case or your evidence with anyone else. Thank you.
Karen Smith is a former major crimes and forensic detective based in the States. She has been working pro bono for Paul Jones for nearly 2 years. Karen Smith features in season one of our podcast. It appears that Lockie's mother is well aware of her involvement. We're back now in the courtroom after the 10-minute break. The subject is the first statement Michelle made to police after Lockie died and why she had made no mention of Lockie's whereabouts between 2:30 and 5:30 p.m. Max Simpkins puts it to her that Lockie had already passed.
I was in a lot of trauma and I couldn't remember nothing in that afternoon till my memory was jogged with all the evidence that come afterwards, with texts and everything, my bank statements with paper plus, the time I picked up Lockie. So that's false. Lockie was around and people seen him. So that's false. That's a stupid statement. So she must be a really good witness or expert.
In your statement, she also made comment about discussion with Lockie, where you said, you might as well say hello to Debbie now.
Debbie is Michelle's friend and neighbour.
Her opinion is that you went to Debbie's to create an alibi for you. What do you say to that?
No, Lockie was with me. He knocked on the door and then you went round to Debbie's house and tried to make her change her statement. You went in there in false pretences.
I think you should confine yourself to answering the question, please.
Lockie was with me. He knocked on the door. I can't comment what Debbie's going to say now, but Lockie was with me. So Miss Smith is not a very good expert. She wasn't there. She's in what, USA? She was in USA, so she wasn't there on the night.
Miss Smith made a comment on your statement that it was only about 30 seconds that you had Lockie out of your sight. That was the case. Her opinion is that Lockie could not have made it down to Grassens Road.
He got out of my sight. I didn't say ran to Grassens Road in 30 seconds. I said he got out of my sight. So that's another thing that's not correct. He would have not gone to Grasslands in 30 seconds. But he was out of my sight, and there's a lot of trees down that road and a lot of places to hide. He could have hid anywhere. 30 seconds is a long time for a quick kid to hide.
Your statement said that you phoned the number 555 and you got confused.
Because I was panicking. I thought, with my mobile phone, I thought it was 555 with my mobile phone.
Ms. Smith's opinion is that you were delaying making that emergency call.
I was not delaying it. That's false. Don't say that I was delaying because I wasn't. I was panicking. I had brain freeze. I was absolutely in distress, 100% distress. And I'm like that now. I can't even use my phone sometimes because of all this trauma I've experienced.
Second statement, you said this, Lockie veered into Debbie's property, and I suggested to Lockie that we may as well say hello to Debbie now because he had gone on to her property. Opinion of Ms. that solely is to establish an alibi.
That's not correct at all. That's false allegations. I'm sick of being accused of your false allegations, and that's not correct. I stand by my police statement. And the police were very, very thorough. They interrogated me. They took my phone off me. They took my photo stick off me. And they did a really thorough job. And Miss Smith, she wasn't there. I was experiencing the worst nightmare of my life, and that's why I couldn't think to ring what number to ring. And Lockie was always watching American police, and I thought 911 at the start too. I just didn't think what number to ring. I was panicking.
As officer, I want to now take you through from the kindy and ask you to comment on some propositions I'm going to put to you. You picked Lockie up from the kindy or the preschool at about 2:30.
They should have the records of that, yes.
Took you about 5 minutes to get him home.
Yes.
Lockie had locked you out of the car, and that caused you to be angry.
No, I was not angry. Kids do play games all the time. I'm an experienced mother, and I had a key. No. Are you trying to say that because he locked me out of the car, I was embarrassed? No, that's a really stupid. That's pathetic, actually.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Lawyer Max Simpkins is referring here to an incident that day when Michelle picked Lockie up from kindy. He'd jumped into the car before his mother and locked the doors.
Got home, and you and Johnny were at home, and you were so irate. And
I was not irate. You're saying I was irate, and were you there? No.
The cross-examination now takes a dramatic turn. Max Simpkins puts it directly to Michelle Officer that it was at this point at her own house that Lockie died.
No, don't be stupid. It's absolutely false. I feel really offended that you've made false allegations. Absolutely. That's ludicrous. Absolutely not.
We left Johnny there and then he went...
No way. Don't even go there, Max, with your little theory.
You then went to...
No.
Then went to the depot at 4 o'clock and told Paul...
No, apparently there was this funny podcast story that was full of lies. Where's your evidence? That's just irate. I just can't believe you're making this story up. It's absolutely made up. Paul's such a liar. I know him well. No.
After telling Paul that he was sick and not to come around to the house, you think...
That's not true. Absolutely not true. Paul's story, but I know Paul better than you. He lies all the time to get what he wants, to manipulate and to take everyone's money off them. No way. No way. No way. Not even listening. That's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely.
You then left the depot and then organised the disposal of Lockie's...
No way! That is just ridiculous. Don't say that stuff. It's absolutely false. I'm not going to let you say that to me. I'm actually offended you're saying that. It's disgusting.
Sometime after 5 o'clock, Cameron's car was in your driveway, correct?
Not that I remember, no. And what colour was his car? What colour? What type of car was it?
It was his blue car.
Gotcha. That's false. That's false, Max.
Next, we are going to hear from Robin Bates, the Crown solicitor representing the police. He's based in Dunedin and was also involved in the original trial of David Bain.
Officer, in your statements, you have mentioned a number of things about Lockie.
Yes.
Early on in the questioning, you said that Lockie was fearless of water. He didn't understand.
No, he didn't. He didn't understand the consequences. I was so safe with him. I never left him in the bath alone. I always was with him, 100% with water. But he loved it. Because he loved water and he'd follow the ducks. And the ducks would jump into the water, and I'm like, we're always holding him. No, Lockie, don't follow the ducks. But he wanted to grab the ducks.
Were there other places where there were ducks that you took him to? Ducks and water?
Hokanui Park in Gore. So, and the Queen's Park. There was a paddling pool, but I think the ducks weren't in the... it was ducks at the Queen's Park, but they weren't... There was ponds in the Queen's Park, yes. I do remember now, sorry. There were ducks at the Queen's Park in Invercargill.
When you went to those places where there were ducks, what did he do?
He chased the ducks. Chased the ducks. So that's why I...
Now, I know this might be difficult, but... There are a couple of video clips of Lockie that I would like to show. And tell us exactly what they show. Are you able to do that?
Robin Bates proceeds to show the court two short videos of Lockie chasing ducks at the park.
Lockie, come back!
If you can just tell us firstly where that was.
Queen's Park in Invercargill.
And when was it roughly?
I think Lockie was two. I can't remember the year, but I'm quite sure he's quite a lot younger. He's 2 years old.
Okay.
And he was quick then.
Lockie, come back here. This is ridiculous.
Tiger, come back.
Slow down.
You're mean.
So was Lockie scared of ducks? What?
Wasn't scared of ducks. He chased ducks. He loved ducks and birds.
You said he wasn't scared of water.
No.
Your experience as a mother and knowledge of Lockie, if Lockie saw some ducks on the water nearby, what might he do?
He could have fallen into that water if we weren't there. He could have just ran in, just followed the ducks into the water. But I stopped the video and grabbed him, obviously.
And we've heard that he liked to run away.
It's fun, because he watched the gingerbread man thing. Right. He watched the gingerbread man and he was following what the gingerbread man done. So I told my kids afterwards, don't let your kids watch the gingerbread man fairy tale.
What happens in the gingerbread man fairy tale?
Run, run as fast as you can. Oh, forget it. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me on the gingerbread man.
How often would he watch that?
Probably at least once a week. I think he was watching it that night. He watched it recently because it was one of his favourites.
This questioning by Robin Bates has been edited for length.
A couple of final things. You said that he liked to dress up as a policeman.
Yes, he did.
And what did he do? What did he put on when he did that?
My friend got him a police costume. I made a wee police hat for him, like a hat, and I made it into a police hat. He loved his high-vis vest because he thought he was looked like an authority, sort of a worker sort of thing. He liked that. He must have cottoned on from something that's what police wore. He really wanted to be a cop.
Did he like climbing?
Oh, he's a good climber, yes.
Why do you say that? What sort of examples can you give us about his climbing?
Before I got the new fence, he climbed this plank fence into the neighbour's. So my neighbour really told him off. And so, she was trying to set him boundaries to not climb fences, but he liked climbing.
How high was the fence?
About a metre high or a bit more, a metre.
How did he get on with the boys, the two old
He got
sons?
On really well. No, we've got lots of funny videos. He got on well. They loved him. My boys love little kids, and they've also got a wee brother that was 6 months younger, and they're really good with him as well. But they're definitely kids, especially Cameron, who's older. He's really into kids. I can see him being a dad, really good dad. So, yeah, they're really good with the Lockie.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next episode, the coroner's King's Counsel.
Do you have any memory of Johnny texting you about the grinder?
I don't have a memory of doing it, but it's obviously there.
Is it possible that the grinder is talking about a grinder for cannabis?
Well, it's not my grinder, obviously.
Just because this is obviously within a few hours of Lockie's passing, we do need to ask this for completeness.
For more journalism that matters, including our award-winning true crime series and podcast, Peter Ellis, The Craige Case and Me, head to newsroom.co.nz or your favourite podcast app. If you like what you are hearing, please subscribe, rate and review our series. It helps new listeners find us. You can also follow our social media pages by searching Melanie Reed Investigates. This series is written and produced by me, Melanie Reed, along with Bonnie Sumner and Judith Curran. It's edited by Dave Feloy Ali'i and Scott Mason. Theme music by H. Pryor. You are listening to The Boy in the Water, funded through Aotearoa, New Zealand, on air.
Thank you. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.